You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
You're the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and welcome back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Rick, in this segment, we've got the opportunity to talk with, as described by David Fry, the great Carol Bergman.
There you go.
Carol, I'm sorry to put that pressure on you, but it was David who said it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, no problem. Carol's claim to fame is that she is the owner of Josh, the Newfoundland, who won Best in Show back in 2004. And for any of you who have not seen Josh's performance, it could be one of the all-time greats, and I would encourage anyone to go to YouTube and just plug in Newfoundland and Westminster, and you'll have all kinds of video examples of Josh's performance, and it was outstanding. The other claim to fame for Carol is that she's local here in Mid-Michigan. She is from Williamston. So welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Carol, if you can, for our listeners, tell me what you were thinking when back in 2004, as you were going into Best in Show and Josh was announced and the crowd just erupted in terms of their response to Josh, much more so than any of the other dogs that were competing that particular night.
Well, it's really nice when the crowd gets behind a Newfoundland. They're not the most popular dogs, but my heart jumped out of my chest when everybody just, you know, started backing him.
Yeah, it was really amazing to have seen how Josh seemed to respond to the crowd. The other thing that really sticks out in a lot of people's mind was how almost on command, Josh just howled right at the right time to the crowd. And what's interesting to me is as I've been studying Newfoundlands, it doesn't seem like these dogs bark or howl a lot characteristically. But boy, right at the key moment in time, Josh really played to the crowd. Almost like he was hamming it up.
He knew. He knew what was going on, and he always would give a great performance. He was just keyed in to showing. He loved it. It's hard for Newfoundland to get into it so much. They're not the most athletic. They're not the most animated in the ring. So he is a good example of a dog, the attitude you want to have.
You had mentioned that Newfoundlands are not the most popular breed. You're probably referring more to the circuit, not so much to the public popularity of the breed. Because I know when somebody walks into our store with a Newfoundland, that's you don't get any work done. Everybody, everybody goes to that.
Right.
You can bring just about any other breed in the store,
right,
and it doesn't stop the show like that
right
one. So maybe the crowd's favorite for sure.
Right.
Can you comment on that?
Well, I don't know as far as the pet population goes. I know they're popular as far as people wanting to go over and see them and greet them and just get around them because they're so big and so fluffy and so mushy. But they take a lot of work.
Why don't you comment a little bit about that? You know, this is a good one thing that we want with this show is to eventually, you know, let our listening public know what these breeds are all about and what they're not all about so that
right
people aren't getting dogs that they shouldn't be.
Right. Newfoundlands are basically people oriented, so you don't want to get a puppy or a dog and put it out in your yard, chain it out. They like to be with the people all the time. And then comes all the, they do slobber.
Yeah.
They shake their head and it
sure
goes everywhere.
Sure.
And then they do shed quite a bit.
Sure.
And it's just a lot of work grooming-wise and things like that. And they do need exercise. They're not just lumps that lay there. They like to exercise, too.
Yeah. So it's like on a cost-benefit analysis, you better really enjoy the idea of owning a dog and take
right
it really seriously.
Right.
And once you do that, you probably get a lot of benefit out of that animal.
A lot of enjoyment.
Oh,
right.
I'll bet you do.
They give it right back to you in spades.
Oh, my.
Carol, let me ask you about the actual event at Westminster, because for most people, I think it's probably beyond their thought process
right
that their dog could ever possibly even compete to win best in breed, let alone best in group, and then best in show.
Right.
That's just an extraordinary accomplishment. Take us through the steps that you went through in terms of the qualifying and each of the steps in the process and how you were feeling at that time, because I would just imagine that your heart had to be just taking leaps on a regular basis
it
through it.
Well, first, you have to start at the beginning. You have to get a good dog. Go to a good breeder. You know, you can't pick these dogs out of a pet shop or, you know, puppy mill. You have to go to a good breeder. You have to have the breeder maybe, or if you know enough, you have to evaluate the puppy. Has to have the right attitude. That's where you start. And then you have to train the dog. And always take care of its coat. That's a constant thing. They get baths and blown dry and conditioner and, you know, all that. It's like a spa. So you have to get through that part first and know that you have a good dog. And then you start going to shows. And then if you have a good dog and the judges are going to recognize it and you win a lot, then you know you have something you can run with. And you go to shows all year round.
Early on, did you have a hunch with Josh?
Yeah. My friend that I co-own him with out in New Jersey, Peggy, and I, we've been friends for years and been doing Newfoundlands for years. We had a Newfoundland, I think it was back in the 90s, we had a dog that we specialed that he won best of breed at Westminster also, but he didn't go any further. He got a placement in the group, but didn't go any further. So, we kind of knew what we were getting into, and you just have certain feelings and hunches about these dogs. You know, they just have that spark about them that catches your eye. And so he started winning at quite a few shows. In fact, we were thinking about taking his brother out, one that I kept, and showing him because he was a big, nice dog, too. But Josh took off at the shows, and we said, let's run with it. And so you go through the regular shows and you win and you do well there. And then you start thinking about Westminster because that's the crowning glory of the dog world.
Oh, absolutely.
And at what point did you get a handler involved? Is a handler from the very time you decided
no.
to do that, or is that as time goes on?
Actually, Peggy's husband, Dave Helming, showed Josh for a while, and he was the handler, the original handler and the one we planned to stay with. But he was out in the field with Josh and a couple Portuguese water dogs and got hit in the knee when they were running around, and so that blew his knee. So then we had to think about a professional handler.
Well, I will say from watching Josh's performance, the handler that you had at Westminster in 2004, she was absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
And it just seemed like she and Josh were completely in sync
right.
with one another. And it really did seem to make a difference in terms of getting Josh to perform on cue exactly
right.
the way he needed to.
That's another key. The handler and the dog have to be in tune with each other and know what each other's thinking and know what they expect of each other. And Michelle, her name's Michelle Ostmiller, now Michelle Scott. She loved Josh, and he knew it, and he loved her, and then that took off too.
Well, that's really neat. In terms of the show itself, one of the things that most people may not understand was that in 2004, Josh won Best in Group during the first evening.
Mm-hmm.
But then he had to hold over and wait for the final groups
right.
to be named before they do Best in Show.
Right.
Tell me about what that 24 hours was like after you'd won Best in Group, but before he was out there for Best in Show.
It's exciting. We had actually won the group the year before also.
With Josh?
With Josh.
Uh-huh.
Yep. He won the group the year before. He wasn't quite as experienced. And I don't know if you noticed when they introduce the dogs for Best in Show now, they just started this. They turn out all the lights and put a spotlight on them. Your dog's not used to that. Sometimes they don't know what's going on. So I think Josh was a little bit wondering, you know, what was going on at that point. And so the next year when he won the group, we thought, wow, this is a great lineup of judges, and we really have a shot. And, you know, you just take the dog out and you calm him down, do their regular routine, and, you know, take him out of there and get some sleep that night and come back the next day the best you can. And
And I'm sure he took a visit to the day spa and did everything in order to make himself just look absolutely perfect.
Well, before the garden, I think he got several baths, and I think we spent a total, this wasn't all at one time, of 6 hours of grooming. Just, you know, trimming the right spots and just, you know, conditioning the coat, because he was right on that night. I must say, we had a good feeling, and the judge came through for us.
I can just imagine for that 1 year, every time they would wake up in the middle of the night, they would grab a big flashlight and shine it on him just to make sure he was performing well.
Yeah, you have to practice things like that.
I bet you do.
You know, just so they're used to it, and they go in and do the best performance they can. You have to practice almost everything you can so that your dog's not surprised.